Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. This legislative session, lawmakers have heard testimony from people in person and via teleconference. Those connections have not always gone flawlessly, but the question of whether or not to continue that option remains. Today's In Their Own Words segment features the House Local Government Committee debate on House Bill 1117. It's a bill to revise provisions for public meetings held by teleconference. You'll hear a portion of that hearing outlining the policy changes and concerns about public access to public meetings.
Okay, so we'll call our first bill House Bill number 1117. And this is revised provisions for public meetings held by teleconference. Representative Reed, welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair, committee members. Tim Reed, District 7. Under the current law today, if a public meeting is held by teleconference, the public entity must provide at least one place for the public to listen and participate in the call. Now, with the onset of COVID, the governor, through her executive order, said you didn't have to do that. She, you know, stopped that law while we're in the COVID situation. What this bill does is actually permanently puts in that if all the members, and that's the important part to know, if all the members are remote, then the place does not have to be provided. Same as what the executive order did. But the point I just really want to make is that if one person says, I'm going to be there at that meeting, you know, live, then a place, you know, there has to be a place and it has to be held. You know, it is kind of funny. We probably all get a little tired of Zoom calls. I think most people would want to be face-to-face. But this shows there are times that everybody could need to meet remotely. And this just gives that flexibility for councils and commissions, et cetera. And this is the one that revises. So, again, all this bill does is if all the members want to, you know, do it remotely, then there wouldn't have to be an actual place where the meeting's being held. All the materials still have to be available for the meetings, but there would just not be a place that the public could meet. And so I ask for your favorable support of House Bill 1117. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Reed. Are there any other proponents to this bill?
Good morning, Madam Chairman and members of the committee. Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League. We've asked Representative Reed to bring this forward. This is, as he explained, something that we can currently do because the governor did an executive order and that was extended through June 30th of this year. But kind of to illustrate the point that it is never going to be anybody's preference to meet remotely, the city of Fort Pierre was meeting remotely initially during the onset of the pandemic. They have now moved into our conference room in my building over in Fort Pierre because they can spread out there and hold an in-person meeting. So even though they're allowed to do this now, the preference is always going to be to hold those in-person meetings. We just think it's nice to have this ability because we've certainly seen some extraordinary things happen, and it would be nice to just know that this exists. I guess with that, we would be happy to answer any questions and urge your support of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any other proponents?
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Lauren Pankratz, registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Association of County Commissioners. And we are here today also in support of House Bill 1117 and would appreciate your support.
Thank you. Are there opponents to 1117?
David Bordewijk, registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Newspaper Association. Appreciate the opportunity to be before you this morning. We rise in opposition to Bill House 1117. Basically, you know, we certainly don't disagree that during the time of pandemic, it made sense to the executive order that was put in place to allow for this emergency use of a remote-only public meeting of a public board. However, we disagree that this should become permanent. We think basically, you know, while this bill may make it convenient for the public board, it doesn't necessarily make it convenient for the public that wishes to participate in a public meeting. And I think, you know, this provision to allow for a physical location during a teleconference meeting of a public Board has been in place for several years, and I think has worked pretty well. I've never heard complaints about it or problems with it, and I would suggest that, you know, if there were problems, then that's something perhaps that needs to be addressed. But I think to do something as a matter of convenience for a board may not be in the spirit of what the open meetings law is all about in terms of protecting the public's right to know what government is doing. So I think that's the main point I would make. Also, I would remind you that this does not apply only to local boards, city, schools, counties, but it would apply to state boards and commissions as well. And several of those entities already have teleconference meetings because their board members are spread all across the state, Game Fish and Parks, Board of Regents. But under the current law, they do have those types of teleconference meetings where all members are participating via remotely. However, they do provide for a physical location at their office or some other place, principal office or some other place, where the public can come and listen to the meeting, participate in the meeting, and as importantly, to view the documents that are required to be public related to the meeting. And I think that's important to note because this bill in Section 1 refers to making sure that the documents that are required in 1-27-1.16 shall be made available during the remote meeting. But that same statute also speaks to the notion that if they're not able to, if a public board is not able to post those documents to a website, then they shall be available at the physical location. And under this bill, I think that makes that, puts that in jeopardy or makes that much more difficult for the public to have access to that. Also, I think, you know, just the fact of internet access is a question as well. Obviously, Zoom meetings and so forth and whatnot have worked this past year at times, but I've also heard from journalists across state who've covered public meetings have been held remotely during this time of the pandemic and have been frustrated because things get cut off, they're not sure who's speaking, or someone wants to speak and they're not able to do so. So technology is great, but it's not necessarily perfect all the time as well. And I think removing that physical location just puts another barrier in place and creates another hurdle that's not necessarily the way we want to go at this point. So, and I think the fact that, yes, this bill says if all members of a board are participating remotely, then this can be done without a physical location. In my mind, it doesn't matter if it's all members or just one member. I think just the fact that the opportunity to remove that physical location is not a good step to take. So with that, we would urge you to oppose House Bill 1117. Thank you.
A rebuttal, Representative Reed.
I want to go to page 2, line 1. You know, it states in there that they have to have the ability to participate. And so really, if members of the public can't participate, you know, and we talk about the technology issues, really you can't have the meeting. So if someone's not able to participate, you should not be having the meeting. So the technology needs to work. Most technology nowadays with Zoom, I mean, we all are used to Zoom invites, you got a telephone number that you can dial into also. I also wanted to talk about, in the changes in Section 1, you know, it's important that instructions on how to join the meeting, you know, if all members of the public are participating by teleconference, okay? So you got to let the public know how they can access it. And then it says the notice and any documents required pursuant to 1-27-1.16 shall also be posted on the political subdivision's website to make sure that it's available. Now, also, that those are public documents. And so if a person needs that information and doesn't have access to it on the internet, they can walk into the office of their local government or if it's their commission or whatever the body is and get those also. You know, so those documents will be available to it. I think we've all found that, you think about the changes that we have to make in code because this just gives the flexibility to the boards if needed. And I think if all the members of the board agree that it's something that needs to be done, then they should have the ability to do it. So I urge your support of House Bill 1117. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Reed. Now we'll move on to committee questions. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Question for the sponsor. First question is, can you tell me what the genesis of this bill is, where it's actually coming from?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Representative Johnson, you know, I'm going to call a friend here and talk to the, have the Municipal League answer that question for you, since they were working with their folks on this bill.
Okay, well, before that, and that's fine, if I could just ask another question.
Go ahead, Representative.
Is there in the bill anywhere that puts a deadline on by which somebody can say, make the determination that all members of that body are willing to participate or are not going to attend? Is there and the reason I'm asking that is when it says that the meeting has to be, it has to be posted, that it's going to be all done by teleconference, if somebody decides the day before or a few hours before that this is going to be all by teleconference, what's the time frame that that has to be public notice before the meeting actually gets held?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
That's a great question, Representative Johnson, to talk through. And I don't have it here, and I think it'll also be good for Ms. Taylor to follow up on. But it talks about the notice, and there's rules in where how soon you have to publish that notice. So if they're going to do it, they need to follow the rules of the posted agenda. It's continuous 24 hours immediately preceding any official meeting. I guess that's right on the top.
And Representative Johnson, you still have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So the question is, what's the genesis of this bill? Who's wanting this to be done? This bill to be advanced?
Madam Chair, it is our membership. We have a process by which we review legislative proposals. More than 100 people participate in four different groupings, and then that information all is heard again at our annual conference, and then has its final review at our annual business meeting each year. And so it's come through the Municipal League itself, but we did have the agreement of the other local entities.
Follow up. This will be my last question. So if a member of the public is used to going to City Hall to the meetings, if they want to add public comment prior to the meeting and be there for the meeting and listen to it, and that person, I know this is easy to say, well, who doesn't have a phone, who doesn't have a computer nowadays, but that person isn't hooked up to technology to join the meeting electronically to add their public testimony, and they go for that meeting and the room is not available anymore, which would, I would guess, if the room was available, the electronics would be there for them to participate. But in their home, if they don't have a computer and if they don't have a phone to participate and add their public testimony, what happens? Do they get disenfranchised or what happens in that case?
Madam Chair?
Go ahead.
I think that it would be the same question under the current system for using a teleconference meeting. I can't think of anybody that doesn't have a telephone. And there has to be a way to provide, it can't just be internet access. We have to provide the ability to connect by a phone.
The bill passed in committee on a vote of 7-6 and was sent for consideration in the House. You can hear the complete testimony at SD.net. Follow the South Dakota Legislature link in the meetings archives section.